we see what we're potentially gonna be. Potential ain't. All right? Potential get us all fired.
Thank you for listening to the Arizona Bird Gang podcast, which you can find at sports360az.com, azcardstock.com, iTunes, and the Stitcher Radio. I'm Joe. Follow me at Zoopaloop. With me is Tyler Nickel.
Hello.
Follow him at Tyler Nickel ASU.
That's correct.
And,
Unfortunately, we're not going to the Rose Bowl.
No. Oh, God. I didn't know you were going to start with that.
I did. Well, you brought up my Twitter name.
Your Twitter handle.
ASU, so.
Alum.
I had to throw that in.
ASU alum, year 2012, graduate.
2013.
You are? Oh, yeah.
That was just this last spring.
Oh, God, that was in spring you graduated.
I'm not that old.
No, not like me, or I would have graduated in 2003.
Yeah, you're old, though.
Ooh, that's 10 years. I got 10 years on you, guy.
You're an old man.
I'm getting there. Yes, thank you again for downloading and continuing to listen. If you have been listening since the beginning, thank you very much. And if you have been listening or new to listening, one thing I have stopped urging people to do, and I'd like them to start again, go on iTunes and rate us. I haven't asked or requested or seen any new ratings. Even if it's one, just put a one. I prefer five. Maybe subscribe. Leave a nice note. Maybe say you like me, dislike Tyler, vice versa. It doesn't matter.
Definitely vice versa.
Just put whatever. But yeah, that's my request. If you've done it already, thank you. Please don't go back and change it. So with that being said, yeah, that's too bad about ASU, man. You know, I know we shouldn't start off with this, but man, did you foresee it?
I'm going to be depressed this whole podcast now because of this conversation you're about to.
I'm going to lose a lot of people. I kind of have an I told you so situation going. Not because I didn't want ASU to win. Pulling hard.
So how about them Arizona Cardinals?
Pulling
huh?
as hard as everybody else. I just didn't know. Yeah, it's my dog screaming like lunatics out there. All right, never mind. You know what? I shouldn't get into it.
Don't.
It'd make you angry with me.
Don't.
Hey.
I'm already angry with you because.
I feel the pain.
No. Because I missed my fantasy football playoffs because you beat me by 0.4 points, Captain 3-9. Not even going to get anywhere close.
I went on a run, too. I didn't even start Shady. I didn't even start Shady McCoy, though.
You know what? But I didn't start one of my high-scoring guys, either.
Why didn't you start him?
Well, I didn't know he was going to be a high-scoring guy.
Yeah, but I just didn't even look at my team anymore.
Bobby
Otherwise,
Rainey.
I would have. You don't think I wouldn't have started Shady McCoy?
Yeah, but you weren't going to make the playoffs, so you still screwed me over.
I did, and had I started Shady, it'd have been a huge blowout, no big deal. But instead, I started Chris Ivory.
Yeah, well, if I would have started Bobby Rainey,
so it's not like you called. Yeah, but it's not like you called me to be like, hey, just FYI, you have Chris Ivory in still. And
no, I did. Why would I do that though? No. I mean, if you would have had a chance to make the playoffs, I might have been the better man and done something like that.
You know who didn't do that? Mike McStats. I know this is a Cardinals podcast, but this is going to take 30 seconds. Me and him in another league, it was us, me and him, me versus him. Whoever won was going to make the playoffs. He didn't tell me Thanksgiving morning. And of course, it's on me. It's completely my fault. I had started the week before because I had no other options because the Seahawks and my teams were on bye weeks.
Right.
Thanksgiving morning, again, forgot games are early on Thanksgiving morning. I started Scott Tosian at quarterback.
Ooh.
Yeah. Big week to start Scott Tolzien or whatever his name is. I don't even remember his
name. Scott Tolzien.
Yeah, started him. Had Russell Wilson sitting on the bench.
Ooh.
Lost to Mike McStats by 10 points.
Would have beat him with Russell.
Russell had a nice Monday night. That was the Monday night football game.
Yeah. And against Scotty, the Saints. Scotty boy didn't even really do.
He didn't play.
Matt Flynn was.
He wasn't the starter. And then he made excuses just like you are. Well, if I would have started my best players. I'm like, idiot. I didn't realize. It wasn't even a thing.
I could be in the playoffs right now, Joe.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's good. I'm the Josh McCown of
You really are.
I'm the Josh McCown of your life.
Oh.
How nice is he playing right now?
And he's relevant again.
He's relevant again.
Unlike your fantasy.
Sam
team.
Houston State. You know, I have a buddy, a good friend of mine, that had gotten an offer, a local boy, if you will. I won't give his last name. His name's Brian, local boy. He had a back at the same years that Josh McCown went to Sam Houston State, and I'm the one who figured this out, not him. He got an offer to go out to be the quarterback for Sam Houston State, or not be the starting quarterback. Just he got a scholarship offer.
Right.
Turned it down. Had no interest.
He could be quarterbacking the Bears right
that's
now.
That's what I told him.
He could be the quarterback of the Bears.
He said, "Nah, bro, man, don't you see? I wouldn't even play because Josh McCown was there." So that's what that's the way he thinks of it is. Well, Josh McCown
maybe
was there.
Maybe he could have beat Josh McCown. Josh McCown could be just another guy.
Yeah, maybe
baking donuts or something.
Yeah, Josh McCown could be the guy throwing to me at flag football on Monday nights.
Yeah, there you go. Rather than him. Josh McCown could be throwing you footballs.
Yeah, on Monday night,
Brian
night football.
Could be throwing Brandon Marshall footballs.
Yep. Nah, he's too laid back. He would never do it. He couldn't even play for Scottsdale Community College because he was too interested in Grand Theft Auto. No big deal. Okay.
All right. Onto the Cardinals. Too in depth about this.
We're 10 minutes in. I just had to check the time. We're 10 minutes in. No, we're a couple minutes in. We're fine. So Cardinals football.
Good win against the Rams. I didn't see a one sack game coming. That's for sure. That's all the Rams got. Robert Quinn was held in check. Cardinals kept tight ends in this time, so it really kept their defensive ends at bay a little bit, and I think that's why they won, honestly.
Even with the Eagles game, the Eagles loss, whatever, they're really they seem to be hitting their stride, which is awesome. Right. I mean, it's terrible because they could win out and still not make the playoffs.
Correct.
But they are hitting their stride at the right time.
Well, let's go over what they need to do or what needs to happen in general for them to make the playoffs.
Yeah, let's go over that.
I mean, I think people...
Let's start with this. They're 9-5 right now.
They are actually 8-5.
8-5, I apologize. 8-5. They are 8-5.
And the Panthers and the 49ers are the two teams locked into the wild card spots right now. Panthers, obviously, Cardinals beat them earlier this season, so they own the tiebreaker with Carolina.
And they're the only team they beat that have owned the tiebreaker with, correct? Out of any team that's in contention at this point.
Well, I mean, are you talking about like the 49ers?
49ers. Let's even say the Cowboys kind of sneak back in. Let's say the Cowboys sneak into the race.
They're not going to. They're awful. Did you watch Monday Night Football?
I know, but there are two games back.
Okay. Well, anyways...
It's not going to
happen. The Cardinals own the tiebreaker with the Panthers, but the Panthers are a game up. They host the Jets this week, they host the Saints after that, and then they go on the road against the Falcons. So the Cardinals basically, since they're a game down, they need the Panthers to lose at least one, and the Cardinals have to win two.
I'm willing to loan John Abraham back to the Falcons if we need to. If we need to. For 1 week, that week. If we need to do it, then I'm willing to do it.
Right, because you can totally do that. I forgot about that.
If you can. If
and give him Larry, too, while we're at it. Well, I mean, because Julio Jones is out for the season. We may as well
need to win that final game no matter what. But I'm just saying, if it comes down to the final week, it's like, oh, God.
Actually, the Cardinals wouldn't need to win that final game no matter what against the 49ers you're talking. That's assuming you're thinking they're going to just go up to Seattle and lose. I'm assuming.
You know, I'm assuming it, but... The numbers aren't there.
The
percentages
aren't there.
That are not there. No team is able to go up there and win. So
yeah, I mean it's probably not going to happen. But they don't necessarily need to beat San Francisco because they're not going to beat out. I'll tell you guys right now. I mean it's mathematically possible. They're not going to beat out San Francisco for a playoff spot. And here's why. They can split the series 1-1 if they beat San Francisco in week 17. But the 49ers have such a better division record. The Cardinals only have one win within the division right now. They're 1-3.
The only hope that we can have, which you don't want to be hanging on to this, is the 49ers completely collapse as a team, which I don't see it happening.
I don't either. They're actually really hitting their stride right now as well.
Yeah, they seem to be hitting their stride.
Because they've got Crabtree back. They've got Manningham back. They've got some offensive pieces back.
The one thing I can say, this week they have the Buccaneers. They're fighting. They're still fighting every week. They're playing hard.
The Buccaneers are.
I want to say they are on, I don't want to say a winning streak, but I'm pretty confident that they're winning a lot of games these days. I'm just going to pull something up here. Don't mind me. All right.
We never do.
And this is my own curiosity. Okay, they've won. Ooh, they got beat pretty bad by Carolina. Other than that, though, other than that win, I mean, it seems like it started with the Week 9 almost win in Seattle. In Seattle, Tampa Bay almost won in Seattle. Woulda, coulda, shoulda, obviously. Didn't, though.
Right, it was close.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Besides that, since then, they've gone 1, 2, 3, 4. They've won 4 out of their last 5.
Yeah.
So they're playing well.
They could beat the 49ers. I'm not going to. I mean, the Colts, who have been so awful lately, and the Cardinals just whomped on them here in Arizona.
They
beat the 49ers.
In the last 5 weeks, they've beaten 2 playoff teams. Are the Dolphins a playoff team right now?
They are not.
They're not. They're close. They're fighting.
I think so.
They're not. Dolphins are in there. They've beaten the Dolphins. They've beaten the Lions. So again, they're not likely going to win, but man, the guy that looks like, what's his name?
I don't know. Anyways,
I'm drawing a blank. The quarterback that looks like the guy that has the Uncle Rico.
Quarterback for who?
The quarterback for the Buccaneers.
Mike Glennon?
Yeah, he looks like, what's his name, with Uncle Rico, and he was in the ice skating movie with Will Ferrell. He was real famous for a couple of years because he talked like an idiot.
Kip?
The brother of Kip.
Napoleon Dynamite.
He looks like Napoleon Dynamite. That guy. Okay. The guy that looks like Napoleon Dynamite.
Mike Glennon.
Yeah. They're playing well. He's playing well. He's actually not bad. Team's hanging in there. They're fighting. All I'm saying is they're going to...
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
It's not out of the realm of possibilities that they win. It's not out of the realm of possibilities that Carolina wins.
But the 49ers are already a game up. They're 9-4.
Yes.
Cardinals are 8-5. They have a better division record.
Yes.
Even if the Cardinals win their last game against them, I don't see that mattering.
No. You're
in terms of...
I'm struggling.
I know you are.
I'm trying to come up with something.
So really, you got to hope the Panthers lose to the Saints. I mean, I see that as totally being possible given that I know it's in Carolina, but the Saints killed them the last time they played Sunday Night Football.
The Saints are a better team.
So you got to hope they lose to them. And the Falcons have been doing a little better lately, and it's in Atlanta. So maybe they want to play that little upset spoiler. I mean, because I don't see the Jets beating the Panthers this week in Carolina. I don't see it,
but again, you don't know with that team. That team is so weird. The Jets, absolutely.
Yeah, the Jets are a weird team. But I just don't see them going to Carolina and winning. So
no,
basically, we got to hope the Panthers lose to the Falcons and the Saints. And if they lose 2 games, I think the Cardinals can definitely make it.
You also didn't see the Jets beating the Patriots, the Saints. Ooh, they lost some bad games too, though. My God.
But even if the Cardinals win this weekend at the Titans and the Panthers lose, then they're all tied up. And the Cardinals, after this week, would go to the playoffs in that scenario.
Because
they own the tiebreaker.
Yes, absolutely.
Just wanted to clear that up.
So, yeah, the team we own the tiebreaker with is Carolina. We don't have a strong enough...
And we would lose the tiebreaker to San Francisco.
Yeah, we would lose a tiebreaker, and it's very likely they're not going to... that they lose 2 out of the next 3. Or even what we'd really need is 3. I mean, you almost need them to lose 3 out of the next 3 in the event that you wanted to...
San Francisco, yeah.
Yeah, if you... I mean, really, the most realistic chance to beat out San Francisco is they lose out. And it's not going to happen.
No.
Because, yeah, you need them to lose out in the event that you want to bother counting that trip to Seattle as a loss.
Right now, we're kind of looking at this from a 30,000-foot view. But when you look down at it, this is going to be a lot harder for the Cardinals than we...
I saw some terrible percentages today.
At the beginning of the season, did we expect the Cardinals to be playing for playoff contention at this point?
No. No, I don't think most people did. I mean, there's obviously the fans that, you know, the fans that said, of course, I thought that they would be.
Right, and there's going to be some of those.
And then there's the people who looked at it from a...
But those same fans were saying that in 2010, last season, when they won 5 games.
You know, so, when I looked at it in the preseason... I felt very conflicted, and the whole team was such an unknown. Let's put it this way: I'm not surprised that we're having this conversation, and that's what I kind of said in the preseason. I won't be surprised if we're a 10-win team, a 9-win team, an 11-win team. It honestly wouldn't shock me. I think that they're putting together a good team. I didn't think the defense would suffer. That was one of the things prior to the season beginning. I knew the defense wouldn't suffer. I knew the offense would get better. Everything's kind of happening the way that everybody thought. But just like everybody thought, we're in a tough division.
Right.
The tough division, and even worse, the tough conference. If we were in the AFC, this would be a non-issue. We'd be looking at playoffs.
Yeah, we would. We'd be in a wild card spot in the playoffs.
I'm not saying we'd be locked in, but...
We would be the second wild card team behind the Chiefs right now.
Yeah, the second... But with room to spare, though, I think, at that point.
About a game. Because we're 8-5, and the second best teams are the Dolphins and the Ravens, who are both 7-6.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is a big hypothetical, but...
Big hypothetical, but everything's panning out.
We would be in right now.
Everything's panning out.
To be honest, I'll be completely honest. I saw this team as a 6-win team before the season. That was my prediction, 6-10 season.
No, I had a hard time with that.
I didn't see the cards falling together the way they have so far. I didn't see them getting big contributions from the guy that just won Defensive Player of the Week in the NFC, John Abraham. 3 sacks and one of them being a safety.
Let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about that for
a second.
How
big? Okay, first of all, I was so wrong on John Abraham, and I'm willing to admit that as well.
Were you
so wrong? I wasn't anti-signing him. I was thinking to myself, okay, if they're going to play him an exorbitant amount of snaps, which wasn't the plan at first, they were going to have him, you know, come in on nickel situations or specific pass rushing situations. I said if they're going to play him, you know, 70% of the snaps or more, Joey Porter 2.0. That's what I said. And guess what? He's had to play big time snaps since Acho and Alexander went out for the season, and he's been awesome.
So let's go back to that. Let's go back to my tweet the other day.
Let's see your tweet.
My tweet: the two best things to happen to the Cardinals' defense was all of the outside linebacker injuries and Darryl Washington getting arrested. That's the two best things that happened to this defense this season. You said, quote, .. I don't know about all that.
And I don't. I still don't. Let me explain why I think you said that. You're saying the best thing was D-Wash getting arrested because they signed Dansby.
Yes. They were not. Even though it didn't add anything to it, they did not know how that arrest, he was in jail, was going to play out.
Right.
They rushed Dansby.
And they knew
he
was going to be suspended for 4 games already anyway.
Yeah, but they didn't rush to sign anybody at that point.
Right.
With that. They knew he was already this. And now you're starting to see a snowball effect of somebody making a downward spiral.
See, I think that they would have signed Dansby anyways.
No chance.
Yes, I think so. And I'll tell you why.
No way.
Minter was not going to be ready to play. I mean, he's just not. I don't think he's ready to play inside linebacker, you know, as a starter. I just don't see it.
I don't think so.
Jasper Brinkley, that guy, he's good against the run, but that's about it. He struggles in coverage. I don't see him as a big blitzer, which the Cardinals like to do a lot. Blitzer,
which was why they needed. They did not. To me, it has to be days. I mean, it had to be within 3 days. 3 days of that arrest. We're looking. I mean, it was a whole thing. It was a whole thing. It started coming out of the news. There was a warrant issued for his arrest. He didn't show up. He didn't show up to his meetings where he wound up getting arrested and then bailed himself out of jail. The whole thing. And all of a sudden, it was Rush Dansby out, and they got him signed to the 1 year deal.
Right.
You wish it was the 2 year deal, but it was the 1 year
right
deal.
Right now, you do.
John Abraham looks really good with the 1 year, the 2 year deal.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said,
they signed him before those injuries, though.
Before
the Ocho and Alexander injuries.
Yeah. But again, now with that being said, they were only going to make him, and it was showing when we had Ocho and Okafor,
right,
and all these other guys, all these, and not Brinkley. Who's the other
outside linebacker?
Who was the other?
Obisco.
Oh God! They dumped Obi.
Well, after they signed Abraham,
After they signed Abraham, which was fine. That's not what I was expecting. They anticipated his injuries, and has he even played for?
Yeah,
Seattle. He's still playing for them.
Yeah.
All right. Either way, so he was only situational. He was barely getting in, barely getting any reps.
He was playing about 20 snaps a game.
Yeah, not enough. He was not. He didn't get a chance to be the guy he is now.
No, but I saw that as, at the time, I saw that as perfect. I said, they're not going to burn him out. He comes in, he rushes the passer on third downs.
And he
not much more. Did. And he was not good at it. At
and it wasn't that. Working out.
It wasn't.
It wasn't until the injuries, and they put him in as an every down outside linebacker.
But how
linebacker.
Do you know that he wouldn't have got that more time like that, even when the guys were healthy, if Ocho and Alexander had
because he wasn't
healthy.
Getting it, and then they forced their hand.
But Alexander and Ocho, they're not premium pass rushers like Abraham. I don't see them as being able to fend him
but
off.
But they
like
were
that.
Not viewing him as an every down outside linebacker the way he has been, and the number of reps. So to me, you don't have all those outside linebacker injuries. I don't see, at least it might have taken a while. But they wouldn't have done
with that.
In the snap of a finger, which it did. And that's when the defense really started hitting it and getting the turnovers and getting the pass rush and really becoming, I mean, hell, I think this defense, I don't know how, we'll get into that in a second, obviously. If they played the Saints again, I think they have a better game against the Saints because while they got pressure on Drew Brees, they didn't have the same type of pressure that they're getting now,
they had pressure this past week against the Rams, but the week before, and I know they had 5 sacks, but that was the most misleading stat I've ever seen against Nick Foles and the Eagles because they didn't get pressure all game. So that's still something they've struggled with either way.
Yeah,
but
I
now
mean,
they're really
not very many games.
Now they're really going to struggle because unfortunately Tyrann Mathieu is out for the season.
And oh my God, and that's why. In a win, I don't know how many times I've ever felt so just
down
after.
Yeah.
You know,
because you've been, I mean, everybody's rooting for that kid. Everybody's rooting for him after all the
and it just
crap
sucks.
He's gone through.
And he's doing such a good job.
And he's played so many roles for this defense as a rookie. He plays safety. He plays corner. He blitzes.
I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you special teams. He's doing everything. This is another. I'm going to show you.
Which is what he got injured on. I mean, so many people have been calling for him to start returning punts because Patrick hasn't done super well this season with that.
No, I know.
And then as soon as he does.
First one. And you knew right when it happened how much pain he was in.
Oh, as soon as you saw it. I mean, and then he tried to get up and run off, and then he fell. That was awkward.
Oof. Yeah, I felt bad.
That just hurt.
I feel horrible. And I didn't even feel bad for that. I don't normally feel bad for players. Like, look at the difference. You got two guys that blew their ACL, and he blew his what? LCL too?
Yeah, LCL as well.
In the same week. You got him and the Gronk.
Yeah.
I mean, the two guys, you can just, again, just by looking at demeanor, two completely different guys. You got one guy basically double gunpointing everybody. You know, you could see him fast forwarding and dreaming of his future endeavors in Vegas and with strippers and everything. You know, the guy doesn't, I mean, does he care? Yeah, I'm sure he's not thrilled. I'm sure he'd rather play out the season. But, I mean, you could see on Tyron's face, even on the field when he knew, you could see. I mean, the guy's in tears. You could see him.
Yeah.
You could see him, like, Holt choking everything back.
He was crying in the locker room.
Yeah, he's bawling in the locker room. I mean, he's extremely emotional. And, you know, you just.
And they don't think he's going to be. He's not going to be ready for training camp.
No, of course he's not.
And then they don't think he's going to be ready for the start of the season either.
I don't think so either. I mean, it's a huge hit.
It's a huge
And it's
loss.
Not only a huge hit, like, it's a huge hit to everybody. It's a huge hit to fans because, he was such a, for fans, I mean, he was such a draw. Everybody loves him. Everybody's rooting for him. So you don't have the, he kind of even brought in some, he brought in quite a bit of outside attention.
He did.
And that's a thing.
And he's just a playmaker. Every week it seemed like he made one play that just changed the course of the game.
Here is the list by ratings, overall ratings on Pro Football Focus of the top cornerbacks in the league. from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm. Who's number two right there?
It goes Darrell Revis, Tyrann Mathieu, Patrick Peterson, Brent Grimes, Jason McCourty, Dominique Rogers, Cromartie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's your top six. Tyrann Mathieu sitting at number two, and he's the only one you look at across the board. And
positive,
you guys can't see
across
it.
Everything.
It's, yeah, he's the one guy that's positive.
He plays run. He defends the pass. He does everything.
Penalties, everything. He's the one guy, if you look across the board, him and actually, William Gay has positives across the board.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
That's kind of odd, okay. But other than that, you don't see anybody else with positives across
Gerard
the board.
Gerard Powers is the new William Gay.
I know. He's had a couple of good games here and there. But I felt crushed when I don't feel that way typically. I kind of felt that way when Jonathan Cooper got hurt in the beginning of the season, and I think everybody else kind of had that same feeling.
I didn't feel the same way.
But
I'll
not
be honest.
As
I mean,
bad.
Obviously it sucks to lose Cooper, but luckily Fanica had been playing well in training camp while college was out with an injury.
Yes, and you kind of felt like you could fill in that gap a little bit, and it would be okay. And again, you know, and I think Rashard Johnson, I think the guys that are going to fill in behind are going to do okay.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
So it's Rashad's going to move to full-time free safety now.
Yeah.
Because he was only coming in nickel situations when Tyrann moved down to the corner spot. So obviously you're going to have Bell and Johnson. Your third corner now is going to be Antoine Kaysen, who hasn't played much this year.
Most people are judging based on his kick returns, but I kind of think Javier Reynes would be good in the nickel. And
well,
so,
that's okay. You're thinking slot.
Well, yeah, that's
slot.
Yeah, defending the slot, and that's where that's basically what Tyrann was doing.
I think it depends on the matchup.
He was safety slot. Yeah, and so they're.
But we don't. I mean, now who's going to defend the slot? I don't remember Kaysen ever doing that in San Diego. He was always an outside guy.
No, and that's why I think you might maybe see Javier Reynes, which I think in Kansas City he did a pretty decent job.
He was okay. The Cardinals this year have used him more as a safety linebacker, kind of hybrid roamer kind of player. So I don't.
Let's go back and look. I can actually pull that stat up.
You can indeed.
And from last year.
Javier.
On Pro Football Focus. We'll do this on the fly right now. How about that?
Let's do that.
Unless the internet goes out and I have a bad time here. So looking at slot performance, Javier Arenas actually, he doesn't do good.
No. Never I didn't mind. Think so. I think they traded him for a reason. So
now he's given
I
up.
Think Kaysen becomes the third corner now. Now it's just a matter of who's going to guard those inside guys. Obviously, they had Tyrann sometimes even defend tight ends, which I was never really a big fan of just because I think he's too small in stature for that, which Kaysen, I think, could maybe even do a better job in that aspect. But I don't know if he has the speed like Tyrann did, the lateral quickness to go with guys on drag routes over the middle and slants and things like that. But it'll be interesting to see what happens.
How about this? I went to my stat that, to me, is one of the best. One of the better stats that you can look at when you're talking about any type of coverage, because there's the one stat that is what was it a quarterback rating when throwing at this guy's coverage? That's good, but sometimes
it can be misleading.
Mm-hmm. The one I'm looking at is he was in coverage in the slot 284 times last year, and he gave up. A league's seventh best in the league of an average of 1.01 yards per coverage. So that's pretty good. The best was Leon Hall. Second best was Casey Hayward with like 0.81 yards per coverage. Mm-hmm. And I know that's nerdy and geeky and whatever else, but let's put it this way. William Gay was towards the bottom of the list, and he was our slot guy in Arizona last year. Quite a bit. So as far as it goes, I mean, if you want to compare him to what's Tyrann doing this year in the same position, yards per snap,
it's going to be a huge hit. This defense is just overall going to take a big hit, I think.
Yeah. Tyrann is 0.90. So
and I'd like to
it's
see
better.
I'd like to see Tony Jefferson maybe get some more time. I know
Yeah,
they don't play a lot of three safety looks, I don't think, but
yeah,
I'd like to see that, actually. Lil Rashad, you know, Jeremiah, and Tony Jefferson.
He made plays in the preseason. And what he did in the preseason is why he's on the team now.
Right.
So I do hope he can get in and get some playing time. He's a good player.
Mm-hmm. He is.
I don't think we're going to miss too much in the free safety portion of things. I think Rashard Johnson does a good job.
Mm-hmm. I think Johnson's good.
So I don't think, you know, I think it's just an emotional hit, you know, as far as the players.
More than anything.
It looks like they're missing their little brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the little brother fighter that they have on their team. But here's one of the good things, and here's what I'm going to predict. If you remember when Tyron got booted off of LSU, you don't typically see guys, after they get kicked off of a team, have so much pride in their team, their teammates, and still everything. Considering he got kicked off of the team, he was in the stands watching as a fan, as a spectator, you know? And I think
it's because he realized it was his fault, though.
Yeah, but he still, to me, I think he seems to be a pretty loyal guy. If that makes sense. He seems to be a very loyal guy. He's got a lot of... I hate saying this. He has a lot of heart, basically.
You're saying he's dedicated to his craft. He's
dedicated
to... come back.
And, well, I think he's going to be... I think he's going to help provide an emotional lift. I don't know if he's allowed to...
From the sidelines?
From the sidelines, at least. I think you'll see him. I don't know if he's allowed to travel with the team.
Yeah, he is.
Is he?
I'm pretty sure he is.
I wouldn't be shocked. And now I know he's just going to have a surgery. So I don't know if we'll get him right away.
Right.
But I think if he can be there, he will be.
So,
and I think he'll at least help with the motivation factor, being there, talking to guy, you know, just doing what he can. I think you'd wind up seeing that out of him. I think that's the kind of guy he is. And that's what a guy, you know, he's turning into a leader, essentially.
Right.
Just a motivator.
So speaking of traveling with the team, obviously the Cardinals travel to Tennessee this week to take on the Titans in what is, as we both see it, a very winnable game. The Titans right now just are... even more out of control than the Colts were when they visited the Arizona. So,
yeah,
I see this as a very winnable game. If the Cardinals want to even have a sniff at the playoffs, they have to win this game. I mean, there's no...
It has to be winnable.
They have to win this game. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Just like we said last week about the Rams, this has to be winnable. They have to win this. This is a must-win. That's kind of where they're at this point.
I mean, the Cardinals have a top... 5 defense. I see them shutting Chris Johnson down. He's only had one 100-yard game this season. Rumors are started that he's not even going to be in Tennessee next season.
Mm-hmm.
So I see them shutting him down. One guy I'm kind of scared about is Kendall Wright. And I know Patrick Peterson's going to be on him, but Peterson sometimes has struggled with the shiftier, speedy guys.
Yeah, and I remember us doing a podcast after the preseason game last year. Patrick Peterson did not have a great time against Kendall Wright.
Right.
In that preseason
game. I remember that as well. So I'm a little worried about Kendall Wright. Ryan Fitzpatrick, though, is just an average quarterback at best. I think they can keep him contained. It's not like he has a running threat or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be about getting pressure, I think, again on him.
Yeah. They're a competitive team, though. They have a good defense.
But see, that's the thing. I don't think they've even been competitive. They've lost, I think, 7 of their last 9 games.
Well, I'm looking at it right now. Since week 5, they lost by 11 to Kansas City. They lost by 7 at Seattle. They lost 17-31 at home to the 49ers.
They've been losing a lot.
They lost by 7 to the Rams. They beat the Rams by 7.
One other guy I'm worried about. This is just because it's the Cardinals, is Delanie Walker.
Okay.
Tight end. I mean, it's not like he's got the best hands in the world. He's not a big receiving tight end, so mm-hmm. to speak. But when you're playing the Cardinals, he just might become one. He could become a nice red zone threat. So
yeah, that's guys who've been quiet all year long are all of a sudden becoming offensive player
like
of the week
Zach
candidates.
Ertz when we played the Eagles. So.
Yeah, I mean, again, I do think it's a game they should win. I'm not going to get too confident.
Definitely not. Not especially since it's a road game. If this was a home game, I think they'd pretty much have it wrapped up before the ball kicked off. But this is a road game. You can't just take it for granted.
No. No. So, got to win. Got to win.
Got to win if you want to make playoffs.
I wrote a little article back on the, which website was it? The ArizonaBirdGang.com website early in the preseason. And it was basically to the tune of, as a fan, what do you expect? What is a successful season to you? And to me, all I really talked about, it wasn't even really the guarantee of a playoff. For me, what it boiled down to is how long can the Cardinals or your team, whoever you it is you root for, stay relevant in playing relevant football. So, you know, I'm not somebody who needs a Super Bowl win. Somebody, you know, because then you're happy, right. You're enjoying football now all the way through February. Great time. All the way, you know, if they're competitive until like the Cardinals in 2008, competitive until the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, you're happy, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, you're disappointed in the final outcome, but you're happy. You got to enjoy football as longer than anybody else can. Right now, it's December
11th.
11th. We're still enjoying relevant football. Their game will be on December 15th or whatever it is. Relevant football all the way at least until December 15th. If they manage another win, we're going to add another week to it. So I'm happy. You know, if the season ends this way,
if
so
they
be
lose
it.
This game
and it's over,
you're
not going to see a lot of
relevant football isn't. Oh, don't say what you're about
you'll
to say.
You'll only see one more podcast.
No, don't say
you'll see the season 3 sign off of the Bird Gang podcast.
That's evil. Don't
and then
say
we'll be
that.
We'll come back for maybe mock
we
mock drafts.
We can't be fair weather podcasters.
Mock draft time. February.
Can't be fair weather podcasters. That's weak.
That is weak. You know what? Every other year when we stop early, it actually isn't because the Cardinals lose. You know, it was always some personal thing getting in the way.
Yeah.
Not usually with me. That's fine. Stretch my back. I had a crank in my back. So we're not actually fair weather as it appears. Just always something personal getting in the way. Schedules mixed up, if you will.
Okay. So, that's fine. I look for this game to be winnable. Other than that, I've really got nothing left to say.
I think Carlos Dansby should be the defense player of the year. There, I said it.
Ooh, look at that guy.
There, I said it. I'm not going to pull up his stats right now.
Sports Illustrated had him as the third best.
You know what? I didn't even know that when I started going Dansby for defensive player of the year all over Twitter on Sunday. I didn't even know that. Oh, and they had it last week. Not even after this week. After this pick six. That was last week.
Right.
So
I believe in that article, was it J.J. Watt was first? It would make sense if he was.
No,
I mean, his team
no. Okay.
Sucks.
I don't know. All right, look, here's the deal. I don't know a lot about baseball, okay? I don't know anything about baseball. All I know is what I see people scream on Twitter. Diamondbacks, did they have a good season?
They had a 500 season.
They had a 500 season.
So it depends on how you look at it. I would say
should
no.
That guy, Paul Goldschmidt, have been
MVP? Absolutely.
Okay,
been.
But why wasn't he?
Because the voters suck.
And
they're all a bunch of old geezers with BBWAA
and
memberships.
And it all boils down to their 500 season, basically? Or you don't think that took any part in it?
I think it took a big part in it. And I also
I
think
too.
Them make, but the Pirates made the playoffs with Andrew McCutchen, which he's the one who won.
I have no clue. I've never heard of him.
Yeah, I know you do. No clue. But anyways, that's why he won, is because his team made the playoffs, even though that's not technically supposed to be a factor in the MVP voting.
No,
but it was anyways.
And so if J.J. Watt won defensive player of the year, would it, I mean, his team can't even.
I'd be fine with it because I think Paul Goldschmidt should have won.
You
tried to get me.
All I'm saying is it shouldn't happen. And it shouldn't happen.
He's a great player. He can't control the other 10 guys on his side of the ball and then the 11 on the other.
Well, he's going to have to make it more I'm freaking tongue-tied right now. He's going to have to try a little harder next time. That's all I'm saying is, you know what, man? Dansby's having a phenomenal season. He's having has to be one of the best
I'm looking
seasons.
At this Sports Illustrated article right now.
He's having one of the best statistical seasons of anybody.
So
right
they actually have J.J. Watt as number one.
Ridiculous.
Number two is Justin Houston with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
I mean,
he's good.
Been
yes.
Friggin' phenomenal pass rusher.
Absolutely. I have no complaint with that.
And something changed. This must be updated or something. Or
now it's not. It's not Dansby anymore.
It's not Dansby anymore.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, it's week 11. I'm looking at
week You're looking 11. At week 11.
Look at me. I just mess everything up.
You just mess it all up. Find the
Robert most... Quinn. Was another guy.
Yeah. Well, guess what? When you can't beat Bradley Sowell, sorry.
Well, he's getting double teamed, but
I don't know. I saw a lot of mono e mono too. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway,
I think Dansby should absolutely be in consideration. If he doesn't at least get a Pro Bowl nomination at this point, it's a sham.
Oh,
if Patrick Willis,
I agree.
It's a complete and absolute sham of a system. He is hands down been the most consistent from week one through week. What are we in fifth? Going
Luke,
into 15.
Luke Kuechly is another.
Yeah,
guy.
He's fine. Whatever. You know, he's not getting his hands on 15 balls. Should have taken a bunch of them back for six.
I'm just saying. I'm not trying. I'm just trying to avoid being a homer.
You know, I'm not being a homer. The guy is doing.
I don't think you are either.
The
I'm
guy's
just saying,
playing
I don't
phenomenal.
Want it
and
to sound that way.
I know. I'm just. He's not going to be. I think he's. He's the most competitive underdog for the title,
and
whatever you want to call
it. I'm
going
to call it right now.
He's not going to win it. No.
No, no, no. Not only that, I don't think he'll be a Cardinal next season.
We talked about that last week.
I know we did, but just the more I think about it, because I can't stop thinking about it, because that's all I think about nowadays, sports. But anyways.
Dansby, just come on, man.
I just don't see. I see a team coming in and offering him some big three-year front-loaded contract with big old guarantee.
Is that what, I mean, I guess that's what you want. That's the goal, right?
Well,
make the money?
Well, it's his last contract. I mean, and I don't think he plays for money necessarily.
No, I know.
But I just think that if he gets a deal that's going to give him $10 million more, he's going to go.
Adrian Wilson did it right.
And the Cardinals don't have the resources to offer him a huge deal. They got to pay Peterson.
No, I know.
I mean,
Adrian Wilson was a model citizen. And I know we had to cut him loose, and I get it, whatever, you know. But that guy, man. He sacrificed everything. He sacrificed everything just to be a Cardinal. My God. I mean, when the Cardinals were nobody, you know? The guy's an absolute model citizen. He's one of my favorite players of all time.
Yeah.
I agree. It's just a shame that he didn't get a chance to finish out his career just here. The guy, absolutely, I mean, you talk about a team player. That guy was absolutely phenomenal. You would like to see, again, I don't blame Dansby. If you can make a couple million, a significant couple million more than you would here, I completely understand. But, man, I mean, you know, they're not going to be better off in the beginning of the next season than they are now. Mm-hmm. They're going to be down at Dansby. They're going to be missing. They're going to have an out of practice, out of shape Tyrann Mathieu that's not going to get, you know, he's going to be rehabbing. And I'm sure he's going to come back at some point. But, you know, I don't know. Just more, I'm not worried about them. I think they're going to continue to do a good job, and they're going to sign the right guys. And, you know, I have faith in Steve Keim and what he's been doing and the job he's done so far. But just, you know, they built a team that's ready to win now. That's what they built this team for. Win this year, because look at all these one-year contracts. And we might not have this team. They're going to do the same thing again next year. They're going to pull some guys in off the scrap heap under one-year contracts and say, go prove it.
Right.
And that's what, I mean, that's what, they're getting out of them exactly what they wanted. You want to make money, come prove it. He's going to do it. So where he's at, he's what, 33 years old?
30, yeah, I think 32.
He's 32, 33. Well, he did it, and, you know, somebody's going to pay him some money, whether Tennessee or who knows. I mean,
I don't know.
Oakland, I have no clue. Somebody that's, I don't know.
Needs a middle linebacker.
Somebody that needs a middle linebacker, they're going to get a hell of a player that's on the playing really hard on the back end of his career.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You're ready to wrap things up?
Let's wrap it up.
I don't even have music.
Like a Christmas present.
Like a Christmas present.
See what I just did there?
Like a Christmas present. All right. Well, what was I looking at?
I don't know. Probably wasn't that important.
What day should we come back and I've got family in town. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas time.
It is Christmas.
It's hard.
It's Christmas right now. I'm looking for some good clothes.
I'm getting ready for Santa Claus.
We got Santa Claus coming to town. I'm trying to find us some music to end out
you
on.
You can do
here.
Enter the Dragon again.
Enter the Dragon. No more Enter the Dragon.
By Cisco.
No more Enter the Dragon. There we go. How about this? There we go. We'll do some Bruce Springsteen. It's Christmas time.
Ooh, little Bruce.
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right.
We talked about Christmas. We got family in town. Game is Sunday. I have a family Christmas party on Saturday.
Ooh.
We're not going to have any college football to watch.
Better spike that eggnog.
Going to spike that. I have some rum chata, too.
Oh, you bought some,
I got
did
some
you?
Rum chata. Of course. I have some in the other room. You want some before you go?
I got some in my house, too.
We have some right here. We could have had some rum chata during the podcast.
Oh.
Oh, what a waste. Let's start over. All right. I just deleted it. No, I'm kidding. All right. I don't know. Maybe Sunday. Maybe after the game if we're into it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll be back eventually.
Or if they lose. If they lose, we'll do one in 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, whatever.
No, that's Joe.
Whatever it boils down to. I'm a fair weather fan.
Break into his studio and do my own.
With my twin bed behind you.
Yeah. And I'll include Suns and ASU talk and Diamondbacks. I hate the Mark Trumbo signing so much. I know you don't know who that is, but I hate it.
I don't know who that is.
Okay.
I want to thank a couple guys. I want to thank Hardcore and Captain Redbeard for motivating us today and giving us some nice topics to talk about.
Thanks, guys.
Hardcore says he likes that. He likes when people get mentions. So there you go.
There's
your mention, Hardcore.
There you go, bud.
Follow him. I am Hardcore something or other on Twitter.
He's got like a 3 and an underscore in there.
3 with an underscore and like a smiley face and an asterisk. And then Captain Redbeard. You find him, Captain Redbeard. With like an E-E-R-D.
Yeah. Spelled beard wrong, but that's okay.
No, but no, well, he can't because somebody else has the other Captain Redbeard.
No, that's okay.
It's not like he did it on purpose.
He could have done
accident.
Like a 4 for the A.
You see, then you start acting like Hardcore, and then it's like it's too confusing.
True.
E-E-R-D. Right. It's perfect. So, thank you. Thank you again. Again, follow us at Bird Gang Podcast. Follow Tyler Nickel. Tyler Nickel ASU.
At Tyler Nickel
at
ASU.
Tyler Nickel ASU. I'm at Zoopaloop. That's it. Oh, somebody wanted me to mention the cursed Honey Badger t-shirt. Yep, you're right. It's cursed. All right, we're out. This sees you when you're sleeping.